Welcome to the Birmingham Vineyard podcast. We hope you find it insightful and encouraging.
If you want to find out more about us, head to our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Thank you so much. Good morning. Hello, everyone. Good morning. Ni hao. And in Farsi, salam. And I bet we have some other languages here in Swedish. What, I know we've got people from Sweden, we've got people from Nigeria, we've got people from many, many countries here today. And America, although we say hello also, but hi, maybe? Okay, so I'm Ruth, and I'm really glad to be with you today. Before we get into the talk, I would just like to pray. Holy Spirit, we are so grateful for your presence. I am so grateful for your presence. As we listen to your word now, would you bring it alive and do everything that you want to do through your word speaking to us? Would you give us open hearts, open ears, open minds to receive and to engage with everything you've got for us today? Amen. Okay, so today we are talking about gifts. Yes. Well, this is my visual aid. I need to keep it. That defeats the object of the exercise, doesn't it? No, but gifts. We know that from our human experience that gifts are really important. They're a way of showing that we love someone, that we value them. In different cultures, there are different ways that gifts are used to do this. So maybe you come from a culture where you come and you give gifts when you visit somebody's home. Or maybe if you're going to a really important meeting, you might bring a gift to someone. Or there are different festivals where we give different gifts. So we've just had Easter. So the kind of gifts that we give at Easter include what? Chocolate eggs. And before that, we had Chinese Lunar New Year. And if you were going to have a gift, maybe from somebody older in your family that wanted to bless you, what's the kind of gift you might get at Chinese New Year? Red envelopes, the lycee. Yes? Yeah. So we have gifts given to us. But the way that we receive those gifts also really matters. So when I was little, when I was given a gift on birthdays and Christmas, I had to write your thank you letters afterwards. Yes, some of us still remember that. When I worked in China for a short while, there would be gift giving, and I would try and give gifts, and then the person would say, no. I was like, let me give you the gift. No. And we had this little thing that I would call the Chinese no. And I'd say, is this Chinese no or is this real no? Because I would really like to give you this gift. And the reason they would be saying no is to say, to accept the gift was like you had to show humility when you were receiving the gift. So giving gifts is really important. I don't know, have you ever had like a favorite gift? Anybody had a favorite gift, that gift that really stands out in your memory? Something really special that anyone's given you? One or two of you? Anybody ever been given a gift where you're just like, this is not the one that I was really hoping for? Well, you know, the truth is I actually find giving and receiving gifts a little bit stressful because I get a bit worried. You know, is the thing that I bought for this person, are they really going to like it? And is the thing that they're going to give me something that I'm going to really like? Let me tell you a little about a story. One Christmas when I was, I don't know, about 8 or 9 years old, my parents were really wonderful gift givers, but they also wanted to be really empowering to their little 8 or 9 year old Ruth. Imagine little me. Actually, I wasn't that much smaller than I am now, but anyway, I'm going to show you a picture of what they gave me. Yeah, that's what they gave me. Yeah, and let me be really honest. I'm really sorry, Mom, if you listen back to this talk. I didn't really want the chemistry set. In fact, I was actually really quite scared of the chemistry set. I don't know if you can see in the bottom corner there, there's this little burner. You could actually fill it up with paraffin and light it up and then put the chemicals over the top. I was quite scared of what would happen with this chemistry set as a result. So I put the chemistry set in the cupboard. And I didn't really discover all that that chemistry set had to offer me. Now, the reason that I've started with the story and my chemistry set is that it's actually not just people who give gifts to each other. God gives gifts to us. He gives them really lavishly, and he's a good father. So we want to understand what those gifts are and decide how we're going to respond to the gifts that he offers us. Are we going to say yes and accept them? Or are we going to say, no, thank you, that's not for me? Are we going to take them out of the box and use them? So today we're going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about one of them in particular, the gifts of speaking in tongues. Now, maybe some of you in the room might have heard of the gift about speaking in tongues already. Now, this is a gift that often produces in people quite strong feelings. Sometimes there'll be people in the room who are like super excited. It's like, yes, we're going to talk about speaking in tongues. This is amazing. Let's get the chemistry set out of the box. We want to use it. And then there might be some of us who go, oh, not so sure. I'm a bit nervous about this. Maybe you might even feel like little 8 or 9 year old Ruth felt about her chemistry set, that actually that wasn't quite for me. But actually, the truth is that as followers of Jesus, as believers in Jesus, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts that are really good for us. And they're not just toys, they're actually tools for us to use. They have a purpose that's really important. So let's unpack. We're not going to literally unpack it, because then you're going to see that it's just a box inside. We're going to unpack from the scriptures what speaking in tongues is and what its purpose is. So when we're talking about the gift of speaking in tongues, we're not talking about the part of our body that belongs in our mouth. Instead, Sam Storms describes speaking in tongues like this. He says, the gift of tongues is simply the spirit-energized ability to pray, worship, give thanks, or speak in a language other than your own or the one you might have learned in school. So in the Bible, we can see pictures of what speaking in tongues looks like. We can see this really clearly in Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit is released among the early church. And we read that when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues was a sign that God's presence had come down from heaven, and his dwelling place was now in each person who chose to believe in him. And this is what Jesus spoke of in his teaching, that God's Spirit would come and be available to everyone. And speaking in new tongues was one of the signs that this new era had begun, and still is, in fact. So we read in Mark 16, verse 17, this is Jesus, and he says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. And that description of speaking in tongues in Acts 2 really helps us see that it's available to all believers. Peter goes on to explain that those who witnessed that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that this was fulfilling the prophecy in the Old Testament that comes in Joel 2. He says, in Joel 2, it says, I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and your daughters will proclaim my message. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. So the gifts of the Spirit, they're available to you. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter what your gender identity is. It doesn't matter what your social background is. It doesn't matter what culture you come from. The gifts of the Spirit are available to all of us. In fact, the Greek word for gift that's used about the gifts of the Spirit is charisma. It means free. It means gracious. And I think this is really important because especially when we think about speaking in tongues, that it's not some kind of something we earn and it's not something we use to demonstrate a special status. It's definitely not like the kind of languages you might learn at school and need to pass an exam in. This is not about your performance. This is about experiencing the gift and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's something that's given to all of us, for all of us. It's for everyone's benefit. So Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians 12, says this: "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." So what is that common good? What are speaking in tongues good for? Well, it's helpful here to understand the different ways that the Bible describes this gift and the different contexts in which it's used. One of the fullest descriptions of this gift is in Paul's letter to the early Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And the first thing that Paul makes clear is that speaking in tongues is a form of prayer. Paul describes speaking in tongues as us speaking directly to God. He says, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit." So he goes on to explain that when we speak in tongues, it's this specific form of prayer where our spirit is directly communicating to God without our minds intervening. He says this: "If I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." So what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Now, to our 21st century ears, this sounds super strange, right? Because actually, for us, it's really hard to grasp. In fact, for some of us, those of us who are a little bit intellectually minded, like me, it can even be a little bit offensive to us because we love to see everything through the lens of kind of intellectual rationalism. Right from the 1600s, in fact, this rationalist way of thinking, the idea that you gain knowledge through reason, has been really dominant. But the knowledge of God and our capacity, bless you, to experience his presence goes way beyond the limits of human rationality. We cannot bring the greatness of God down to the level of human thinking. Nor can the kinds of supernatural, spiritual transformation that God wants to bring about in us, through us, and our world so desperately needs, cannot possibly be brought about through human thinking alone. The work of the Spirit goes beyond this. Thank you, Jesus. In the Message translation, Eugene Peterson translates this phrase, "My mind is unfruitful," using a really helpful metaphor. He says this: "If I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my mind lies fallow." Now, that word fallow is perhaps a little bit unusual, but in farming, if you have a field and you leave it fallow, what you're doing is you're giving that field a rest, just a little rest before you use it again. And what it does is it really helps restore the balance so that actually everything can be more fruitful altogether. And so it is with us. When we're praying in tongues, we shouldn't think that praying in tongues, we stop using our minds completely. What we're doing is allowing ourselves for a time to experience a form of prayer that is going beyond the limits of our intellectual rationalism. I really like how Gordon Fee explains the passage from 1 Corinthians. He says this: "Contrary to the opinion of many, spiritual edification, building us up, can take place in ways other than through the cortex of our brain. Paul believed in an immediate communing with God by means of the Spirit that sometimes bypassed the mind. And in verses 1 Corinthians 14 to 15, he argues for his own edification, he will have both." In fact, for those who are interested in how science actually shows us what is happening spiritually. It's so fascinating. I find it really fascinating. There's a verse actually in Proverbs where it says how God has hidden things for scientists to find out. I love it. So there was a study that was done where they literally looked at how people's parts of their brains worked when they were speaking in tongues. They got people to sing in tongues and not sing in tongues, and they measured what was happening inside people's brains. And what they found was fascinating. I really think it gives us a helpful lens on this, that there was a part of the brain which controls our conscious ability and our intentional control of language. And that part of the brain, when they were singing in tongues, went down. But other parts of the brain were also still working. So the parts of the brain that would just completely not work if someone was in a trance, that was still working. And actually, there was another part of the brain that it shows what's happening to your emotional well-being, and that was doing very, very well. So actually, when we're speaking in tongues, it's not that we are not conscious anymore. We remain alert. But what we're doing is actually allowing the Holy Spirit to work in all parts of ourselves, and that is actually very good for us. There was another study that actually showed that people who prayed in tongues, their emotional well-being and stability increased. So, thank you, God, for the way that you're showing us through science, actually, some of the amazing things that you're doing in our spirits. Okay, so praying in tongues is really good for us personally. It's also really good for us because we get limited in what we can pray for. Another reason this gift really helps us is that often we don't know how to pray or what to pray for, and it's here the Holy Spirit helps us. So Paul writes, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." So speaking in tongues is a bit like a bridge that can help us. There are plenty of situations I haven't got the language, and I actually really don't know what to pray for, but I want to pray. And so speaking in tongues is like this bridge that the Holy Spirit can flow over and come and help us pray for those situations. So I pray in tongues about all kinds of things. So I might be walking around my neighborhood and I really want the spiritual atmosphere to shift. It needs a spiritual solution, not my intellectual solution. And so I can pray in tongues. Maybe I'm singing in worship and the greatness of God is so great and my words are going to run out. And so I want to sing in tongues. I do that here in church. You might have heard some people singing in tongues this morning. You can do it here in church. You can do it in the shower. It's not limited anywhere. If I want to intercede for someone or a situation, I just actually really don't know what to pray for them. I can hold them in my imagination and I can pray in tongues. I don't know about you, when I look at the huge problems in our world and I am longing for God to do something there, I need the Holy Spirit to help me pray. We are living in a time of both incredible crisis and darkness and phenomenal opportunity for the kingdom. Just 2 weeks ago, Justin Brierley had an article in The Spectator, a secular news outlet, claiming that a Christian revival is underway. James Partridge, an unbelieving comedian on TikTok, has been singing worship songs. Songs that we used to sing in assemblies, like, "You will go out with joy and be led forth with peace." A non-Christian singing worship songs, some of them have gained over millions of views. Over 7 out of 10 students, whether they know Jesus or not, if their friends invited them to come to church, would say yes. We are in a time of both incredible crisis, incredible opportunity. We need the kingdom to advance. We can be part of this with the Holy Spirit, and speaking in tongues can be a really amazing tool that can help us pray for those situations. But perhaps more than anything else, the gift of speaking in tongues helps us because it's an invitation to intimacy in relationship with Holy Spirit. It reminds us of our dependence on him, and it gives us this opportunity to partner with him in praise and worship. So we read in Jude, "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life." So last week, John was talking about worship and how worship, when we worship, it's like a veil that comes away and we experience the presence of God more directly. And actually, the Holy Spirit enables us to do that in speaking in tongues too. It's a gift that really helps us lift that veil. It's a really tangible experience of collaborating with the Holy Spirit. We do this with our physical bodies. So we choose to open our mouths and speak out. And there is a mystery by which the Holy Spirit in us starts to shape those words and the sounds and releases more of his work as we speak them out. So, we've been talking about speaking in tongues as a gift that builds us up individually by helping us to pray and drawing us into this intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. But that's not all. There is more to this wonderful gift. So in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul also talks about speaking in tongues when we're together, when we are speaking in tongues, maybe in a church meeting. So in his letter, Paul talks in details about how to use this gift outside the context of your personal prayer life. It's really clear that his expectation was that people would speak in tongues in meetings like this one. People are together as believers, maybe in like a big meeting like this, or maybe in small groups, or maybe even just in informal prayer meetings together. In those meetings, someone would speak out in tongues, not just collectively in a time of worship, but in a time when everybody else could hear that tongue that was being spoken out. Now, we speak out in tongues, but if it is in a language that you don't understand, it's of limited value, okay? If our wonderful Hong Kong community are speaking in Cantonese, I will get the words ni hao and xie xie and maybe the numbers 1 to 10, but after that, it's gone from me. Same thing with speaking in tongues, right? Speaking in tongues, if we don't have a way of understanding what is being said, it is of small value. Paul said that in order for the gift of tongues to be of a benefit to us when we're together, it needed to operate hand in hand in tandem with another gift, with the gift of interpretation of tongues. So he says this in 1 Corinthians 14. "If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be only two or at the most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God." Okay, so what is the gift of interpreting tongues? It works in a really similar way to other kinds of revelation gifts like prophecy or words of wisdom. So we're going to come on and talk about prophecy in other weeks, I think. And in the same way, what happens when somebody gives a tongue in a meeting like this? We stop, we listen together and say, okay, God, would you show us, would you help us understand what is being said here? And then we listen and we share what God shows us. It's helpful to understand here that we're talking about an interpretation, not a translation. So it might be that it's conveying the essence or the heart of what's being said, not necessarily word for word. So it's not like, oh, somebody spoke for 3 minutes. I need to speak for 3 minutes here. Not quite like that. But what happens is that we listen, we share what God says, and then together we weigh that up and we say, okay, does this sound like what God says in the Bible? Does this build us up? Is it helpful? Does that sound a little bit, not so sure? We weigh it up and we listen together and we say, okay, yes, let's listen into what God wants to say and collectively embrace the gift that he has for us. Okay, in some cases, speaking in tongues was actually heard as a recognizable human earthly language known to other speakers. That's actually what happens in Acts 2. Later on in that passage, we hear that there were people dwelling in Jerusalem, men from every nation under heaven, and when they heard people speaking in tongues, they were bewildered because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And actually, there are more recent examples of this too. So John Bevere talks about how in his church in Colorado, he was preaching. There was someone at the back praying in tongues quietly. At the end of the service, someone in the congregation went up and spoke to that person who had been speaking in tongues, congratulated them on their knowledge and proficiency in archaic French. The person didn't know archaic French at all. But actually, when they'd been praying in tongues, what they'd been doing was speaking in archaic French, the scriptures that John Bevere had been preaching from at the front. So let's not dismiss the possibility that actually when we speak in tongues, the form that they might take is of another earthly language. But that is quite rare. And in most cases, if a person speaks out in tongues in a meeting, in a public setting like this, we need to wait for the interpretation. Okay. I have stopped turning my pages over. That was an error. Let me wait. I'll come back to myself. Right, okay. So we've talked about tongues being used, speaking in tongues being used in our personal prayer. We've talked about tongues being used as a gift to build us up together as we listen to God and embrace the revelation that he might have for us. What about speaking in tongues outside our personal prayer, outside the church, out there? Paul's instructions to the Corinthian church reminds us, actually for unbelievers, this gift looks really weird. It looks very strange. He actually says that they'll think you're out of your minds. Indeed, Peter, when he has to explain to the listening crowd at Pentecost that the disciples are not drunk. So actually, when we're praying for people and they might not know Jesus, so for example, if I'm praying for someone on the train or on the streets or I'm praying for somebody in our home, actually what I want to do is to approach them with love and respect, and I want them to pray in a way that they will be able to understand what I'm saying. So I might hold off praying in tongues in that situation because it's actually not very helpful to that person in that moment. So pray in a language that both they and I will understand. But that doesn't mean that praying in tongues does not have a role in mission. It absolutely does. So praying in tongues seems to work a little bit like a catalyst, which releases the Holy Spirit and the power of the kingdom that goes way beyond human effort. I really love the story of Jackie Pullinger's experience here. So Jackie Pullinger, when she was 22, decided she wanted to be a missionary. No missionary society would take her on, but she went on an incredible adventure and took herself to Hong Kong. So when she started her work there, she started to work among the gang members, the triads, drug addicts, and it was pretty tough. Early on in her work, she met this Chinese Christian couple, and she was really amazed because what would happen was they would pray for the drug addicts and they would be released from their addiction. And people would start to come to know Jesus. And she thought, I'd never thought about praying for them. And so she started praying with this Chinese Christian couple, and she received the gift of praying in tongues, but she didn't feel really comfortable with it. And so she stopped praying in tongues. And actually, the work, her mission work, remained very difficult. She didn't see much change in the area of Hong Kong where she was based. It was a year later, she actually met an American couple who told her that the scripture says, if you pray in tongues, you will be built up spiritually. It doesn't say you will feel built up. So she began to pray in tongues every day, not for a huge amount of time, just 15 minutes. And she describes this as opening a new door for the Holy Spirit to work. She says, I would walk down the street and bump into a gangster. Some of them I knew and some of them I didn't. And they all started to believe in Jesus. And I saw people healed. Because I was praying in the Holy Spirit, God was able to lead me to the people he'd got ready. The problem is, most of us have got an agenda. And we say, this is what I would like to do. Dear Lord, please bless me. But when you pray in tongues, it's the opposite way around. It's, dear Lord, you've got an agenda, and I'd like to play a part in what you want me to be doing. I wonder, what would our neighborhoods look like? What would our workplaces and our schools look like? What would our families and our friendships look like if we started to pray in tongues every day and let the Holy Spirit open up doors for us to step into? Okay, so where next then? Maybe some of you here today, you're thinking, I've received this gift a long time ago. This is good. I use it regularly. Well, you know what? God is good, and there's always more. So I sense there's an encouragement for us today to press in further using this gift. And maybe it's an opportunity for you to help release that gift for other people too. Maybe for some of you in the room, you received this gift a long time in the past, and actually, like me in my chemistry box, you put it away. And God is saying, now is the time to bring it out. And time to fan into flame that gift again. Maybe for some of you today, actually, you might feel a little bit hesitant about this gift. Maybe like me in my chemistry, say like, I'm not sure. Actually, sometimes there are things that can stop us from speaking in tongues. Maybe we have a bit of fear about what others will think of us. We're afraid we might lose control. Maybe for some of us, our intellectualism gets in the way and think, if I don't understand it, I'm not going to do it. And actually what God is asking us to do is saying, will you lay that down? Will you submit your fear? Will you submit your intellectualism to the Almighty God? Maybe some of you have been put off because in the past, maybe you've seen this gift being used in a way that was really uncomfortable for you, or actually there's been some wrong teaching around it. Maybe for some of you, you feel a little bit inferior that maybe you're not holy enough or you haven't prayed enough. And maybe for some of you, you are just exploring faith and you are thinking, this is very strange. What is this woman talking about? But wherever you are in your walk with Jesus, let's approach this gift with an open heart and with an open mind. And if any of those hesitations come up for you, what I'd really encourage you to do is have a conversation with Jesus about it, okay? Because my experience is that God is 100% good. And actually, whenever I have a moment of resistance where I'm not sure I want to hold back, and there is sometimes what I think of as a really unholy trinity at work in me of fear, apathy, and disbelief. You have to push through that. And there is freedom on the other side. And there is a deeper experience of Jesus on the other side. So I have stepped away from my notes once again. So in a moment, maybe you've never spoken in tongues before. And today is the day you'd like to receive this gift and start using it. So I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment just to give us some language, and also so that when we've captured this on the recording that's going to go on the podcast or on YouTube, for those who are not in the room, it gives everybody a chance to put some language around this and for the Holy Spirit to meet you where you're at. But we're going to come into a ministry time after I've prayed this prayer. So is our wonderful worship team, Hannah, could you come back, please? Because me playing the piano is not going to be a blessing to anybody, but it's going to be a much bigger blessing for you to be playing the piano for us. As we move into this ministry time, let's remember, actually, the Holy Spirit really wants to fill you, and he wants to give you good gifts. He is also the perfect gentleman, and he's not going to push anything on you that you don't want. So the question is, how hungry are you? And are you going to let your desire for more of the Holy Spirit and for this gift to get bigger than the things that might hold you back? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a chance for ministry. And we're going to do that maybe in a slightly different way today, because we're really blessed to have the team from California here with us. And we really want to be able to give them the chance to pray for us, pray for, and for you guys to pray for each other as well. Right. So let me pray, because it's more important that the Holy Spirit moves than I carry on talking. In fact, I probably need to be quiet soon. So, oh, Holy Spirit, we thank you again that you're right here. Holy Spirit, I thank you for bringing only good gifts from our Heavenly Father to us. Thank you for the gift of speaking in tongues. I welcome you now to fill me. I ask you to give me the gift of speaking in tongues. Holy Spirit, would you come and awaken my spirit, awaken our spirits. For those of us who want to receive this gift, would you give us the courage to speak out what you give, whether we understand it or not? We believe that you're with us and that you will do us. We thank you, God, that your plans are good, much bigger than we can ask for. Your plans for us as each person, your plans for our city, your plans for our nation, your plans for our world. We give ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the talk and found it helpful.
We'd love to welcome you to one of our gatherings. We meet in multiple locations at multiple times on Sundays, as well as in midweek small groups across the city. More information on all of these can be found at our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day and God bless.